Good morning. This is Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we will find out all about the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, fondly known in the tourism industry as OCVA, and also known as the People's Coast. What is the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, and what do they do? The Oregon Coast Visitors Association is a membership marketing organization comprised of privately operated tourism businesses, chambers of commerce, visitor and convention bureaus, and other destination marketing entities from Astoria to Brookings, which collectively promotes travel and lots of other things we'll find out about today to the Oregon Coast. Here in the studio, I have Marcus Hinz. Marcus is the executive director of OCVA. Hi, Marcus.
Good morning, Donna.
Thrilled that you are here.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Before we talk about all things Oregon Coast, please tell the listening audience a bit about yourself.
Wonderful. I'd love to. I'm a Midwesterner, as so many of us out here are. These days, I was born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin, on the Great Lakes. So I grew up right on the shore of Green Bay in a farming town, actually called the Town of Scott, outside of the city. And came to Oregon in 96 to go to graduate school at Portland State University in the public administration. I focused on administrative law, did 65 graduate credit hours of conflict resolution. Then my first job out of college was at Tillamook Bay Community College. I was the director of continuing and community education there. And I fell in love with the coast. I wanted to form some roots here, so I started a company called Kayak Tillamook County. And it's a workers' cooperative. We, all of us who guide, all of us kayaking guides, collectively own the company and operate it.
Had you kayaked before on the lakes and bays and estuaries where you grew up?
I did a lot on the water, motorboat, skiing, inner tubing, a lot of canoeing. But I'd never kayaked until I got to the Oregon coast. Just indirectly at the college, I set up an outdoor rec program at TBCC. It was called the Water Program. And it had a lot of activities, guided hikes and walks, hang gliding, geology tours, bird watching tours. But a backbone of it was kayaking. And so when I decided to leave that position, I was like, well, you know, the only thing I'm really going to miss is being in these coastal waterways. So why not focus a big chunk of my life on that?
And how long have you been the executive director of the Oregon Coast Visitors Association?
Yeah, so I've been the director of OCVA for a little over 4 years now, and it's been a great pleasure. I actually hadn't anticipated loving the tourism industry so much. And again, like, how precious is it that I have a career focused on the place I love? It's magical.
Indeed. And for the listening audience who is unfamiliar with the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, / aka the People's Coast, what is it?
Well, conceptually, I would just look at it as a big network of stakeholders in the tourism industry. You know, we're really one big table for everyone to sit at who has a stake in this industry, not just private businesses who earn a livelihood, but also you know, residents are impacted by visitation. There are a lot of resource management agencies, state agencies, federal agencies that, you know, manage our public resources that are impacted by visitation. And so, you know, we're one big table for us to sit at and hold conversations, to share our experiences in this industry, and to help us collectively come to solutions that we can all get behind.
And how it really works at the state level is that you have the State Tourism Commission, the state tourism agency known as Travel Oregon. And they have divided Oregon up into 7 regions. And the coast, all 363 miles, is one of those regions. And the coast is essentially broken into 3 sections. There's the North Coast, Estuary to Neskowin, the Central Coast, Lincoln City to just past Florence, and then the South Coast, which is Reedsport to Brookings. So how does the Oregon Coast Visitors Association work with all of those 3 regions? They're so different. But the Oregon Coast Visitors Association has the responsibility of working with the entire coast.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, frankly, it is quite challenging. And those three regions that you mentioned are not subjective administrative decisions, you know, that were made by the state or even by us. It's really through years, decades of feedback and relationships. It's just truly how residents and businesses on the coast have defined themselves. And so really those regions are us just respecting those perspectives. And, you know, you are correct. Geographically, geologically, socially, they are very different regions. Different visitors visit these different regions. Down on the South Coast, it's more visited by folks from California, San Francisco, Northern Cali, Southern Idaho. So that would necessitate different kinds of marketing plans, for instance. And development-wise, as far as tourism, what we call tourism product, the things that visitors come here to experience, different as well. The South Coast is very sparsely populated. There are no big cities. There are very, very few amenities. And so their need for product and investment in product is great. Up here on the North Coast, for instance, being close to large population centers, Vancouver, Portland, even Salem, you know, getting people to come here isn't that much of a problem. I'm sure everyone knows that. Finding ways to manage their visitation is the challenge here. And so that is, you know, also one function of our association is to convene stakeholders to say, hey, what's happening? What are your ideas? Let's pool our thoughts. Let's pool our brain power and come up with a solution, because there's got to be a better way to deal with this.
The Oregon Coast Visitors Association is works with Travel Oregon closely, and it functions. Well, you're the executive director, and then you have a board. Why don't we explain a little bit about how that works? And I am actually, at this moment in time, serving on the Oregon Coast Visitors Association board, representing one of the entities representing the North Coast.
Full disclosure, Donna is one of my board members.
Indeed.
Yeah, so the way that we are structured and the way we are able to really integrate ourselves with the coastal community is our board is peppered along, our board members are peppered along the entire Oregon coast. So we have two board members which represent North Coast, two which represent South Coast, two which represent Central Coast, and then we have three positions which are at-large positions, really meant and reserved for businesses or entities that have interests along the entire Oregon coast. So for instance, you know, a large vacation rental company may have properties along the entire coast. Maybe one of the resource management agencies might have, or a publication, say, that markets along the whole coast. So coastwide perspective, and I serve at their pleasure. I'm the executive director. They hire and supervise me, and they know what is going on the ground in their communities.
And there are some changes that have just happened. There's a larger budget, and so the Oregon Coast Visitors Association will be expanding, hiring new people, and there's a focus from marketing to tourism destination development, collaboration with natural resource agencies. So you just talked about the South Coast, and actually the Oregon Coast Visitors Association has someone working on the South Coast, Dave Lacey.
Yeah, that's correct. We have a full-time South Coast destination coordinator. And so his job from Brookings to Reedsport is to connect with businesses, organizations, city, county governments, environmental nonprofits, state and federal resource management agencies. And again, you know, serve as the convener of this industry. Say, hey, come, we're aware of these issues. Please come sit at the table with us and discuss them with us and help us understand them and be with us as we find solutions to these things.
In the past, the Oregon Coast Visitors Association has done such things as produce the Oregon Birding Guide, and it now produces the official Oregon Coast Visitors Guide, which can be found at local chambers, you know, chambers all up and down the coast. What are some of the other things that the Oregon Coast Visitors Association does, Marcus?
Well, we do manage a very well-visited website. You can see it at visit theoregoncoast.com, or you could also Google Oregon Coast Visitors Association or our brand, The People's Coast, in a lot of communities, because our website is so visible on the internet. You could Google your city and Oregon Coast. So, for instance, Astoria, Oregon Coast, because there may be more than one city named Astoria in the United States. And we will likely be one of the first listings that Google will pull up. So we manage the website. We have a call center out of Newport, an 800 number that visitors call to get information. You mentioned the Oregon Coast Birding Trail map, the visitor guide. So those are our main assets. And then we also coordinate cooperative marketing opportunities. So we have a winter video co-op that we schedule in January through March. And for those who have not seen the video we put out a few years ago, it's called The Oregon Coast, A Winter Odyssey. I would highly recommend just Googling that.
Right, because there's a movement away from promoting tourism on the Oregon coast in the summer, because certainly the North and the Central Coast have a lot of tourism, to the chagrin of some of the locals who say, well, there's all this traffic. But the South Coast needs more visitation. But on the North and Central Coast, certainly a lot of the messaging now is about winter visitation.
Yeah, that's correct. Most of us realize just intuitively there's no need to market summer. A lot of communities are starving in the winter. So why not shift our marketing dollars, our messaging, you know, our tremendous ability to reach visitors before they arrive here, you know, affords us an opportunity to talk to them and to reach out and say, hey, you know, while you are here, this is how we would like you to visit us, right? And starting to integrate stewardship messaging, tread lightly. When you're on the beach, for instance, the baby seal. Springtime is a great time to see baby seals, but just remember, mama's out fishing. Baby seal's not abandoned.
Those educational messages are so important, because a lot of visitors don't know how to interact with our natural resources. And certainly beach safety is one of the things that the Oregon Coast Visitors Association focuses on. A lot of people don't realize that you never want to turn your back to the ocean, and you need to know the tides and watch out for logs and, you know, avoid walking on, you know, coastal bluffs. And I mean, there are just so many things. So that is an integral part of the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, is also disseminating that information to visitors.
Yeah, that's absolutely. We do have a dedicated beach safety page on our website, and it does need some sprucing up. Part of the conversation we'll be having over the next year or two with resource management agencies is how to better communicate and prioritize safety messaging to visitors, because you know, let's face it, the Oregon coast is a raw and rugged, still relatively wild place. Our beaches are free and open to everyone for always. Our brand, The People's Coast, is based off of the Oregon Beach Bill. For those of you who've not made that connection, it's The People's Coast because in 1967, the Oregon Beach Bill was passed, which forever prohibited development of Oregon beaches. Free and open access to everyone, not just folks on the coast, not just people in the state of Oregon, but anyone in the world can come here and enjoy our beaches, which are also, by the way, inherently dangerous, as Donna just pointed out.
Yes.
So being able to describe that to visitors is extraordinarily important.
Marcus, what are some of the new things that are happening with the Oregon Coast Visitors Association? Because there are some kind of new dynamics at work now because of the increased tourism. So tell me what some of the things are that the Oregon Coast Visitors Association is working on right now.
Well, I'm going to back up just a little bit and say, you know, in 2003, when Travel Oregon was created, there really wasn't much of a tourism industry. You know, they were created to invite the world in, and well, by golly, as everyone knows, the world has come. So now we have different kinds of challenges. It's not necessarily getting people here anymore. It's like, well, now that they're all here, they're like, what do we do now? We have a lot of challenges, congestion issues. It's affecting livability in communities, which we are very concerned about. Trails are impacted. We also have workforce issues. So the Oregon Coast Visitors Association has been reaching out to Oregon State University Extension Service, trying to figure out, well, you're the experts in workforce development training. can we have some type of partnership? Like, we know the needs in our tourism industry. You're experts in curriculum and training and actually providing businesses with services, strategic planning, access to markets, research. So that's new and exciting for us. We have workforce issues. We have issues around coordinating sustainability messaging to visitors. And that's new too. We've been creating a strategic advisory group of state and federal resource management agencies. We have formalized that this year. And we're mapping out a master list of impacts that these agencies are seeing. And we're categorizing them by season. And we're creating messaging based on that seasonal communication calendar. So in springtime, we know these types of impacts occur. In summer and fall, as our seasons change, as animals migrate, as different types of flora and fauna, you know, come into being, we all know like wild mushroom harvesting doesn't happen in summer. So therefore, no impacts of like overforaging, right, in the forest. So that's an example of how our messaging is changing. And it's, you know, going to be more informative rather than, hey, there's a pretty beach and a pretty sunset. It's like, no, there's also communications about how our natural environment functions.
Right. And if you have a tide pool which is being heavily visited, maybe there's one that is being less visited that would be a better experience for not only the visitor, but also for the tide pool itself.
Yeah, that is a great point. And, you know, there's a distinct advantage of bringing natural resource management agencies to the front end of this conversation is they are experts.
Such as the Forest Service, the Park Service, the BLM.
Exactly. State Parks, Department of Forestry. They know their land. They know precisely what areas are over-impacted, and they know what areas no one visits. So for us to derive marketing content from them on the front end, is an advantage actually to everyone, to them, to us, to get it right, and to the visitor.
Exactly so. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I'm visiting with Marcus Hinz. Marcus is the executive director of the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, which is also known as the People's Coast. It is an organization which services the entire Oregon coast, and essentially in the past, it has been a marketing organization, but it is now kind of moving into destination development. And let's talk about kind of some of the exciting programs that you're working on now, such as the OCT.
Yeah, you know, the Oregon Coast Trail is a great example of, one, our role, and two, our reach. So as a coastwide entity, you know, we are able to take an asset with the magnitude of a 380 plus mile trail and convene community groups and stakeholders along the way who have already put a lot of time into the trail in their community, right? And aggregate that effort, create one table for us again to sit at, to say, hey, we love the Oregon Coast Trail. Let's have some continuity along this trail for someone who wants to hike it. So if you start in Astoria and you hike down the whole trail all the way to Brookings, which then goes into California, actually continues on, to provide a seamless string of amenities and signage, explaining to people not just like where the trail is going, where's the next opportunity to camp in a primitive campsite, an outhouse, and also, by the way, there's a community coming, say Manzanita or Yahats, or a little further down, you know, Brookings. And in this community, you can find these other amenities. Get off the trail and go kayaking. Get off the trail and go fat tire biking on the beach. You know, stay a while, explore everything that we have to offer, not just the Oregon Coast Trail.
What is the status of the Oregon Coast Trail right now? Because it exists in certain places, but then there are gaps. So that's what the Oregon Coast Visitors Association is working on right now with these other agencies to create a seamless experience of the entire Oregon Coast Trail. So what's the status right now?
You are exactly correct. There's 11 gaps in the trail, which wander onto Highway 101 and you have to hike along Highway 101 for a length of time and get back on the trail later because there's no continuity on the trail. Sometimes there's land ownership issues. Sometimes the trail is just, the landscape is too rugged to put a trail through. So we're finding solutions right now for those gaps. One that goes around Tillamook Bay, kind of circumnavigates most of the bay. We're working on a water taxi, like a water shuttle, a ferry, to get people from Garibaldi across to the Bay Ocean Spit, which, you know, again, heightens the quality and experience. Wouldn't you rather hike along 4.7 miles of relatively pristine beach or shoreline along the bay, because there's two trails, than a busy Highway 101, particularly in the summer? And also that increases the safety of this amenity as well. So ODOT has an interest in getting these people off the highway. You know, we want our visitors to have a quality experience. There's a lot of interest here. And also, you know, be able to turn it into a greater livelihood, say, for those commercial boat captains who have captain's licenses and already have their six packs. It's another way for them to get, you know, $50 per person or whatever they choose to charge for a shuttle across. So, you know, truly there's win-win solutions for everyone if you just sit at the table and talk through it long enough.
Exactly. And I think that maybe the idea is to have this village-to-village experience along the Oregon Coast mm-hmm. Trails, much like they do in Europe.
Yeah, precisely. There's a lot of successful models out there for us to take a look at. But there's also, you know, our perception and our desire about how we want this trail to come into fruition. It does exist. It needs some amenities. Before we market the heck out of the trail, we are very well aware we need to install some greater amenities to be able to accommodate the increased visitation to the trail and have it constructed in such a way that we will minimize the impact of that visitation.
And I want to run, just kind of move back for a second to the Oregon Coast Visitors Association itself, which is a membership organization, so people can join it as a member, although the Oregon Coast Visitors Association also represents, of course, the entire coast. And let's talk about also the People's Coast Summit, what that means. So maybe just visit those two issues a little bit, please.
Yeah, thank you for bringing those up. Last year, we had our very first People's Coast Summit, and it's meant to be a coastwide gathering of people in the tourism industry, particularly small mom-and-pop business owners who have a hard time getting away. Like, we all can't go to the Oregon Governor's Conference on Tourism. It's a little too much to ask price point-wise and also maybe time commitment for a lot of small coastal businesses, and we are mostly small businesses on the coast. So the People's Coast Summit is an effort to accommodate those realities and offer quite a few high-quality professional development opportunities around marketing, around business development, and at the same time, have a place for us at the end of the season to come and blow off some steam together. So, you know, we had a lot of art, we had music, a lot of entertainment.
It happened in Garibaldi last fall.
That's right. It happened in Garibaldi last fall. And this coming October, it's going to be down in Gold Beach. So this summit will rotate. It will rotate a sub-region every year. So 2019, 2018, it'll be in Central Coast. And then it's going to come back up north here somewhere.
A fun and exciting experience for everybody. It was a terrific summit, and everyone is welcome. And we should probably tell people how they can reach the Oregon Coast Visitors Association and reach you.
Yeah, again, you can find our website if you go to visittheoregoncoast.com. Very heavily visited website. We just broke 1 million visits this year. And my email address is director@thepeoplescoast.com. So feel free, if you have a question or you want to follow up to this conversation, by all means, send me an email.
What I really appreciate about the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, again, is your vision for collaborating with these natural resource agencies, and I don't know if we'd call it ecotourism, but maybe a way for even visitors to come and be part of, such as like Solve and the cleanup.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of visitors, we've all heard of the term, you know, voluntourism. And really, there's people who will pay $5,000 to an organization to go somewhere and work for them. There is that segment of the visitor out there, and we can engage them. And let's face it, there's a lot of stewardship opportunities on the Oregon coast. Solve does an incredible job of involving people to help keep our beaches clean. There's a lot of citizen scientist groups up and down the coast that are monitoring invasive species, that are monitoring the health of native species. And we can ask the visitor to come and not only help us with these scientific endeavors, but they really want to learn. Visitors have again and again expressed a really deep interest in learning, not just the cultural history of where it is we live, but also the natural environment. What kind of creatures live here? What kind of habitats do they need?
Marcus, we only have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you would like the listening audience to know about the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, aka the People's Coast?
Yeah, so we haven't talked about it so much yet, but we are a marketing organization, and we do have very formidable marketing avenues. We send international delegations to Canada, to Germany, to invite the world in. The Winter Video Co-op effort put 370-some 15-second commercials through the whole valley corridor throughout the winter, saying winter on the Oregon coast, having themes. So our Facebook page is 128,000 people who follow what we do here on the coast. So if you are a business and you want to connect with visitors, we're a great avenue to do that. Send me an email, director@thepeoplescoast.com. And again, just a few points. You know, we are the official convener of all tourism matters on the Oregon coast. So if you're concerned about something, please do let me know. And reminding everyone, the People's Coast brand is based off of something we're very much in love with, and that's the Oregon Beach Bill. We really honor that.
This is the 50th anniversary of the Oregon Beach Bill, and there will be celebrations all up and down the coast the entire year.
That's right. Every community has their own way they want to celebrate their beach, and we're supporting that. So we are going to have a dedicated calendar on our website for Oregon Beach Bill and all the events on the Oregon coast. So do follow that. It's a very exciting year. And again, ACVA really cherishes the opportunity to serve the Oregon coast.
And in the industry, there's a term called RDMO, which really means?
It's the Regional Destination Management Organization. So as one of the seven regions, as designated by the Oregon Tourism Commission, we have the responsibility and honor of serving that role as convener and collaborator along the coast, no matter what the issue is. It could be new marketing ideas. It could be protecting the environment, workforce development. You know, we're your go-to organization if you want to get something done, but you should also work directly with your local destination management organization or chamber of commerce or visitor center and engage with them.
Thank you so much, Marcus. This has been so incredibly informative. And there is a lot of exciting stuff going on, and it's changing. And so we will stay in touch with you and with what's happening with the Oregon Coast Visitors Association throughout this year of the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Oregon Beach Bill. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
It's been a pleasure, Donna.
Thank all of you who listened to Talk of Our Towns, and my gratitude to Graham for being the engineer today, and also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the things that are going well in your life, there will always be those things that don't go well. Focus on the things which are, on feeling good, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you and for doing the best you can, for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.